Welcome, Rock Men. Like I mentioned in our announcements, we're going to talk about something that we should probably talk more about. Not to make a big deal out of Satan. We don't want to make a big deal out of the devil. But we need to be aware that he's out to destroy you. We need to know that. You know, I've led a number of people to Christ. There have been times, especially if they're kind of soft-spoken, sweet people that, you know, everybody likes. It goes like this. I'll lead them to Christ, share the gospel with them. We pray. Maybe this, some of you, if I've led you to Christ, I'll encourage you, give you some verses, assurance verses. We'll talk, we'll rejoice what God's done, and I'll stop and say, there's one other thing I need to share with you. I've got some bad news for you. You're a very nice person, and I'm sure that everybody likes you, but about 3 minutes ago, something happened, and you need to understand now, you have an enemy now. You have an enemy that wants to absolutely devour you, that you have a target on your back, and I've told people that. I want them to be ready, because is that true or not? As a believer, that person may not have had an enemy before they became a Christian, but they have one now. And I want them to know about that. So let me ask you, we're going to talk about knowing your enemy tonight. I want to help you. I want to get it in front of you. I want you to think about it and discuss it. We'll have time to do that. What do you think of when you think of Satan? What images come to mind? Is it the cartoon character with, you know, the red with the horns and the pitchfork and smoke? And is it just a silly idea of something that may or may not be true? Or if you're from the 70s like me, do you think of the church lady in Saturday Night Live making fun of Satan, making light of the Prince of Darkness? It's no joke. But here's some interesting statistics from George Barna. He asked people a while back about their beliefs in Satan, found out that 62% of the people he surveyed agreed that Satan is not a living being, but is a symbol, just a symbol. Not real, just symbolic of evil. 72% of Catholics say the devil is non-existent, according to the survey, which is really interesting because every demonic movie I've ever seen seems like there's priests casting out demons. It's weird. 64% of women reject Satan's existence, 59% of men, and the most shocking of all of the statistics here is that 52% of born-again Christians deny Satan's existence, according to the survey by George Barna. Over half of evangelical born-again Christians that claim they believe this book say they don't even believe that he exists. Men, here's the deal. If Satan doesn't even have to be subtle if he can convince you he's not even real. You have let him in. You've let the fox into the hen house, and he's in plain sight. He doesn't have to disguise himself. We can believe whatever we want, and people can believe whatever they want, but as men of God, as we've determined tonight, we need to believe what the Bible says about Satan. We need to believe that. But we can tend toward extremes. In fact, C.S. Lewis says it this way, and I thought it was so good. He said, there are two equal and opposite errors into which our race, human race, can fall about the devils or about Satan and demons. One is to disbelieve in their existence. That's one end of the spectrum. The other is to believe and to feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them. You can go to either extreme. It doesn't really exist, or there's a demon under every rock. Every sin I commit is because of a demon. We need to make sure that we don't go to either extreme. We here, and I've been part of this group for 40 years, tend to be on this extreme over here of, we don't think about it much. But that's maybe not where you came from. Maybe you came from a different background. But here in this room, we need to make sure that we don't go to that extreme. John Piper says this, Satan is not a myth. He's a personal being, a fallen angel, and the adversary of God's people. To neglect this reality is to neglect an important aspect of the Christian life. What does the Bible say about Satan? It says that Satan is real, Satan has a plan, that plan is to destroy you, and that we are called to resist him. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. And you do have a handout. I ask you not to be distracted by that too much while I'm teaching, but it is a resource. I put actually some books. I just went to my shelf today and looked at different books that have helped me. Screwtape Letters, C.S. Lewis, Neil Anderson has a couple good books, Victory Over the Darkness, A Bondage Breaker, and then there's some novels that I think really give a good picture of the spiritual realm by Peretti, Piercing the Darkness, and this Present Darkness. Those have all helped me understand, believe, and engage with the fact that there is a spiritual realm that we can't see, but it's very real. It's very real. Amen. Do you think there could be a spiritual battle going on tonight? I'm talking about Satan. Do you think that could be possible? Well, we're going to pray because prayer is our best weapon. It's an offensive weapon. We're going to pray real quick here. Bow your heads. Lord, we come in the name and the mighty name of Jesus Christ tonight. Thank you that that is the name above all names, that to every knee will bow and every tongue confess to that name. Jesus Christ. And tonight we come in your name, covered by your blood that you shed for us to pay for our sins. God, we are righteous because of what you did for us. We don't come on any of our own terms, any of our own righteousness, anything that we can bring. We simply submit to you and thank you tonight that you want to help us as men have courage and power and strength and wisdom and insight to face the enemy that you tell us about over and over and over that is very real, yet oftentimes we don't believe it. Lord Jesus Christ, come here tonight. Protect us. Allow our minds not to be distracted. Speak to us. Teach us. Help us. Be the men you want us to be in our families, in our church, in our relationships. God, help us to resist the enemy that is at hand and trust in you. Just like Brian said, we need to trust in you. We can't do it on our own. We can't, even tonight. We need your help. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, guys. We're going to look at this. This is what we're going to look at. Satan is real. Satan has a plan, and we need to resist him. Satan is real. Some of these things I'm going to go by pretty quickly. You have a Bible, and you can look these things up if you need the PowerPoint later. I can certainly help you with that. Satan is real. Here's just a little summary. Satan was created, or was and is, a created angelic being who fell from his position in heaven due to sin and is now completely opposed to God, doing all in his power to thwart God's purposes. The name Satan means adversary or accuser. Satan is real. We need to acknowledge that. I hope you acknowledge that tonight. You acknowledge that Satan is real? There's a spiritual dimension that we can't necessarily see that enters into our life in many ways. The Bible says Satan is real. Here's kind of our keynote verse, 1 Peter 5:8-9. Be self-controlled and alert. This is God's command to us, men. This is like a military command. Be self-controlled and alert. If you're standing post, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy is out there. That's what he's telling us tonight. Your enemy. You have an enemy. It's the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. We're told to resist him, standing firm in our faith. Amen. To resist him. It doesn't say run. It says resist him. Resist him. And we'll talk more about that. Again, I think of Matthew 4. I read that this week. And Luke as well. The story of Jesus being tempted in the desert. Over and over and over it says, the devil took Jesus into the desert and tempted him with bread. The devil took Jesus to the temple and tempted him with power. Over and over it says, the devil did this, the devil did this. If it's just symbolic, what is the narrative saying there? It was the devil. And then it says he left Jesus for an opportune moment. He was going to come back. He didn't give up that easy. He's a real being, a created being, and we're foolish to not believe that. But so many people do. They just don't believe it. Okay, what about his identity? Again, we're not going to go through this in detail. He is a created, supernatural, angelic being. You can look at the verses in Ezekiel 28. He sinned and was cast to earth, Isaiah 14. Satan is his pride, as you'll read in those verses, that caused Satan. He was an angel, and many angels fell with him. According to Revelation 12, there's a good chance a third of the angels fell with him. There's some debate about that. He totally corrupted the human race, Genesis chapter 3. He deceived Eve and Adam, and now we have sin in the world. That was Satan. He is actively involved in our world today, just like we read in 1 Peter 5:8. We need to be alert today, right now, because our enemy is alive and well. You say, Bill, I don't see him. I don't experience him necessarily. Well, here's what I've learned as I've traveled overseas to third world countries at different times and read a bunch of biographies. What I've discovered is that Satan is not quite as overt here as he is in other places where there are witchcraft and there's shamans and they're open to different, you know, Satan possesses people much more openly in a lot of these countries. We just don't see it. He knows he wouldn't be as effective in this country doing things like that, over-the-top things. But mind you, he is real, and he is alive in our country, in our lives, in our city. Absolutely. If you want, again, we're going to go through each one of these if we could just read. No, we're not. No. This is just, I just want to give you a big boom. Here's just some of the verses that talk about Satan. Descriptions or evidence of his work, things that he's done. Satan is real. How can you be a born-again Christian saying you read this book, you believe this book, and not believe that Satan is real? This is just a smattering of the verses that talk about Satan. The Bible says he's real, and I trust we can all say amen to that. Amen. We can say amen. We'll move on. I like this quote from Dwight Eisenhower. He says this. He compares it to war. He says, in war, there's no second prize for the runner-up. Knowing our adversary's strategies and tactics is key to ensuring victory. And it's true in physical war, like it was in World War II. Knowing your enemy's tactics is always a key to victory in war. Knowing them. It's the same spiritually. Do you know your enemy? Again, we don't make much of Satan, but we need to know him. And we need to know he's an enemy that wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy your kids. He wants to destroy this church. We need to know him. I love this quote. I don't think I've ever quoted Alice Cooper before, but tonight's the night, baby. Alice knows a little bit about demonic forces. He says, by the way, he's a born-again Christian now. I hope you know that. He's a good man. When you believe in God, you've got to believe in the all-powerful God, he says. He is not just God. He's the all-powerful God, and he has total control over everyone's life. The devil, on the other hand, is a real character that's trying his hardest to tear your life apart, says Alice Cooper. I say, amen, Alice. You say, again, I haven't seen many examples. I just want to share a few, nothing profound, but I got to tell you, I believe and I've seen him, and not just Satan, but demons, because you got to understand one of the things about Satan is he is not omnipotent, he's not omnipresent, he doesn't have all power, he can't be everywhere at once, neither can his demons. They're limited that way, but I have sensed a few examples in my life. Even at the church here 2 weeks ago, it was interesting. Now, this is questionable why this happened. I don't know for sure, but in my mind, first thing I went to is this is demonic. In the back, we have our kids' programs. We have TVs. One of the TVs kept going off and on in the back, which is not that weird, but there's kids back there. Parents were back there. This was during the service. Ashley Johnson was back there. And it went off, and then it flipped on to Netflix, and you know how Netflix shows previews of whatever it's on? It showed an R-rated man and woman getting naked and getting into bed right in our back in our children's programs while everybody's kind of watching, wide-eyed, you know? And I think, was that just a mistake? Did that just happen? Maybe. I don't know about that, but that's the first thought I had, was that's demonic that that would happen. We got it fixed, by the way, so don't worry about it. Temptations. Have you ever experienced temptations? You just think, I can't resist this. I have, and I've fallen to temptations of my flesh. It's like, and I know it's going to happen. It's like, if I just crack the door open a little bit, it's like, boom, I just have this overwhelming, I've got to do this. And I think that's a big part of what Satan does in my life anyways. If I choose to enter in or I think there's going to be life found here. Oh, I just think that's where life is going to be found, by doing this or watching this. And I just open the door. Satan is right there. He doesn't force me, but man, he entices. And, oh, this will be so good, and you'll be so satisfied, and it'll be wonderful. And it's like all of a sudden I am, you know what I'm talking about? It's like the Bible talks, it's like a, you know, an animal stepping into a noose, I'm caught. I've sensed demonic pressure and intimidation and just the hand saying, just go do it. And I'm sure you have too. And that's my fleshly desires. I'd say, and some of the pastors here with me could say, there's been people that we are pretty convinced are either oppressed really bad or certainly possessed by something that we've dealt with. Being a pastor, you know, 35 years, I've seen some things. It's like, yeah, I think that was pretty weird. And we deal with it that way. And we definitely oppress people that have tried to get on stage or screaming at us during the messages, especially down in Provo. Provo was quite the place. Fist fights going on in the lobby. It's like, this place was wild, Wild West. So we've seen things like that. Addictions can do that. I've seen that with people. I've had people in our room back there, just the one room we have, and a counselor, a husband, a wife, and he was addicted to cocaine. He would disappear for 2 or 3 weeks at a time. He had two beautiful little daughters, and his wife was gorgeous, and she loved him, and she wanted to work this out, and he was in tears just saying, I hate this, but I can't stop it. And he would just go on a binge, and he'd be gone. And she's there weeping, and he's weeping. He wants to stop. See, we have our flesh, we have the world, but we have the devil as well that's just throwing gas on the flame, just throwing gas. And you want to stop, but your flesh is so strong. Even in my own house, there's been times where I feel like what I've experienced, I can't explain it. There's been people babysitting. I remember years ago when my kids were little, we went on a date, we got back, and the babysitter's eyes were like this big, and she's saying, there's something in this house. They're walking around. They came up the stairs. I opened the door, and there was nothing there. I can hear them walking, and they're not crazy. I mean, you know, most of you know if I told you who this babysitter was. It's like she was freaking like, there is somebody walking around in here. Now, I don't know what it was. I've had those sensations. I don't know if you've ever had those chills, like you're in bed and all of a sudden you just sense this, there's something in the room with me. I mean, again, I could just be, had a bad piece of pizza, I don't know. But I've sensed it, it's where my hair stands up, and to be quite honest, my heart starts racing and I'm terrified. I'm just being honest. It's like I'm laying there, like I don't want to move, and I'm almost frozen. Like something's going on here. By the way, in that case, what I do, because it's happened a number of times, I just start praying the name of Jesus. Jesus over and over, saying, and I remind Satan of a few things, that his doom is sure, that he has no power over me because of the blood of Jesus, not because of me. And I just repeat the name of Jesus over and over and over until it's gone. You guys remember about 7 years ago, there was a point where, there was a period of time where I was getting woken up at 3 a.m. for three, remember that? Like 3, 4, 5 times a week. It'd be like I'd go to bed, and I just, bing, wake up. I look at my clock. It was not 2:59. It was not 3:01. I wake up. I look at my clock. It was 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock. And it got to a point where it's like, what is happening here? Is there some, you know, is there some trash collector that's out there at 3 a.m. every day that kind of, it's like, but it was became real evident that this was, I felt like, just demonic harassment. Because 3 a.m. is just the opposite of 3 p.m. where Jesus was crucified. It was just like, it's like a little kid just trying to harass. That's what I felt like. Satan's just like a big mouth that's just harassing, trying to get the pastor to be tired and scared and whatever. It went on for a long time. It was just weird. I actually have experienced about a year and 3 months ago. My two youngest boys were in our house alone. We have our two dogs, and they put the dogs in the kennel because it was, you know, getting about 8 o'clock at night. My wife and I were gone on a date, and they were in the house. They put the dogs love their kennel, so they just always settle down. Well, they started freaking out for some reason. Up in the bedroom, the spare bedroom where our dogs are, I have a camera in there because I want to be able to see our dogs if they need us, or if, you know, if we're gone and we want to make sure they're okay. Well, my youngest son, who was, you know, 2 years ago, he was 22, 23. His brother was 25, and I got a call saying, "Dad, something weird just happened. Can you look at the cameras? Because something weird happened in the bedroom with the dogs." And he was a little bit freaked out. I said, "Sure." I had access, so I went on my thing, and I was watching it, and I see him coming in the door. I see the dogs, by the way, spinning in their kennels, like freaking, like, what is going on with Rosie? She's freaking out. And he comes in I see my son come in the door, and I hear a voice say, "Hi, Timothy." I've got it on my phone. It's hard to, I played it for other people. They hear the same thing. Now, and then Timothy, he comes in the door, and he looks, turns around, and he looks at the camera, and he's freaking, like, what was that? And then you see him attend to the dog. As he's leaving, he's watching the camera like, what was that? It's on my phone. What was it? I don't know. But it was weird. I watched it again this week. Like, that was weird. How does that happen? Coming out of the camera. And that's where I hang out a lot, in that room. So it's even weirder, you know. It's like, it's where I take my naps. It's like, I'm waving at the camera like, what's going to come out of that thing, you know? Is Satan real? Are those satanic things? I don't know, but I believe it could be. I believe that he's real. Not only that, Satan has a plan. He's got schemes. And we're told that we have a struggle that's not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces, against authorities and powers of a dark world, spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That's what we're told. He has a plan, he has a strategy, he has a program, he has a plot to destroy Christians and everything about us. That's what we're told. What does he use for his tactics? Deception. He's called the father of lies. He lies to us all the time, doesn't he? Everybody's doing it. Just do it. You're forgiven. He'll forgive you. Just go sin. It's okay. He tells us lies all the time. Remember Joe Theismann, the all-pro quarterback, used to be the Washington Redskins years ago. He got a divorce. Somebody asked, a reporter asked him, "Why are you divorcing your wife, Joe?" And Joe famously said, "Because God wants Joe Theismann to be happy." Which is a lie. God didn't tell him that. The devil told him that. Satan told him that. Somehow he believed the lie. Division. Satan loves to divide and conquer your friends, your marriages, you and your kids, churches, nations. He loves to divide. Men, can I just encourage you again? Keep short accounts with the people in your lives. He loves to divide. I've had people leave our church. This was years ago. Leave our church. And they went somewhere else and told everybody that Bill was not very nice. He didn't say hi to me in the lobby. And I remember that weekend. I don't remember even seeing them. And certainly as being a pastor for 35 years, trying to love people, understanding this is a calling of God, I try to meet everybody that I can. There would never be a point where I would give somebody the cold shoulder. Can I just promise you guys, can I just tell you something? Just between you and me. If I have an issue with you, If I'm mad at you or you did something to offend me, here's my promise, my God-given promise to you. I will come and talk to you. I will not give you a cold shoulder in the lobby. I will never do that. I will just come talk to you and say, brother, I love you. But Satan, see, he loves the advice. And that person not only left without talking to me, they started spreading slander that this is not a friendly church because the pastor didn't say hi. And that didn't, it's not just me. It's happened to the other pastors as well. But it's not true, is it? Satan trying to divide, discourage. I know a lot of Christians that are discouraged, especially after sin. And I think, Erskine, you mentioned that when we sin, or one of you did, when you sin, get up and keep going. Maybe it was Brendan. We just need to keep going. But here's the crazy thing. Before I was a Christian, Satan was like, when I had sinned, he'd be, yeah, go, keep going. This is awesome. Keep sinning. Sin, man. Just do it all. It's awesome. You're doing great. After I became a Christian, he's like, you are the worst scum of the earth. Do you realize what you just did? You sin. How could God love you? Are you even sure you're a Christian? Anybody ever heard those words in their brain? Satan loves to discourage us any way he can. This is a quote by John Calvin that I can't even comprehend words like this coming out of my mouth. It's so good. He says this, two-slide quote, we have been forewarned that an enemy relentlessly threatens us, an enemy who is the very embodiment of rash boldness, of military prowess, of crafty wiles, of untiring zeal and haste, of every conceivable weapon, and of skill in the science of warfare. We must then bend our every effort to this goal, that we should not let ourselves be overwhelmed by carelessness or faint-heartedness, but on the contrary, with courage rekindled, stand our ground in combat. Man, I couldn't have said it better. Satan's tactic, deception, division, discouragement, his goal is to destroy you. We're told in John 10:10, the thief comes only to what? To steal, to kill, and destroy. That's why he comes. Jesus, on the other hand, comes to give us life, give it to us abundantly. 1 Peter 5 again says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls or lurks or roams or scavenges around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Devour means to destroy or to consume or to demolish. Now, in Utah, we have mountain lions, which we got to be careful of. But I've never been around these kind of lions in the Engedi in Africa. You know, the ones where, man, you wouldn't want to be on a safari without having a vehicle that is safe, right? So I don't worry. When I read this, prowls around like a roaring lion, I go, yeah, I've been to a zoo. I get what lions are like. They're kind of scary. But you know where I have been in Utah? I've been up in the woods hiking a lot. And we've come across bears, and I know there's bears. And we're warned, signs, there's bears, be careful. And we're banging rocks together. Hey, bear. Hey, bear. Because I've got Boy Scouts with me that I'm responsible for. They'd be a tasty little treat for a bear. And it happens. We know what happens. So this makes more sense to me. There's a roaring bear looking to devour me and you. And we're told to be alert, be self-controlled. Your enemy is like a roaring bear. If I told you that a bunch of wild bears were standing outside waiting for you tonight, I don't think you'd be going playing gaga ball over there in the pit, okay? If you knew it out there. Listen, the Bible tells us he's out there. Why would we mess with that? Why would we not get that in our brain? Why wouldn't that affect the way we live? Why wouldn't we be self-aware? Why are we more like this guy? Timothy Dexter. There was a documentary made about him. I watched it in 2005. It was voted one of the best documentaries of the year. And if you know the story, this guy spent his life hanging around bears, and he had a big following. He would go up and pet bears in the wild. And he claimed to have some affinity to these bears. Well, park rangers in the documentary are saying, you're going to die. What are you thinking? No, he's crazy. He's actually causing a problem. These bears are now getting more used to humans, which is going to be a problem. But he kept doing it. He'd go camping and he'd film himself just you know, sitting there reading a book while these bears are walking up behind him. It's like, what? Well, you can imagine. In 2003, he stayed in his tent with the wild bears all the way into October, where usually he would end a couple months earlier. What happens in October with bears? They get hungry. And he got killed. And his girlfriend was killed and eaten by bears. And that's part of the documentary. The really sad thing is that while he was being eaten, his video camera was running. Now, it didn't film him being eaten, but you could hear it. And they didn't play it in the documentary, but they filmed his best friend listening to the video of his best friend being eaten by a bear. And he was terrified. And he took off the headphones. He said, "Destroy that. Never watch that," he said to the fam. "Never watch it. Destroy it. It's the most terrifying thing I've ever heard." God tells you, men, be on the alert. Satan's like a wild bear just wanting to eat you. When they found the bear, they killed it, and they found that he had eaten these two people. We need to take this seriously. Satan wants to eat you and destroy you. So, last point, he must be resisted. Again, our key verse at the end says, resist him, standing firm in the faith. That's what we're called to do. Well, how do we do that? A couple words that I just want you to lock onto. How do we repel the devil? Submit and resist. That's what we're told. James 4:7. Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he'll what? He'll flee from you. It doesn't say run from the devil. It says resist him. 1 Peter 5, again, resist the devil, standing firm in the faith. So definition, submit means to align your life and your actions with God's will and authority, to yield like a dog that rolls over. I got one dog, one of my dogs just loves belly rubs. She'll just roll over it, just sees you and she'll roll over. Please rub me. That's what it means to submit to God. Because at that point, that dog is saying, you can kill me. I'm at my most vulnerable. You can do whatever you want to me. I trust you. So I'm going to show you I trust you. God wants you and I to roll over and just tell God, I trust you. Especially when we're not under attack. You can't fight it yourself. You roll over and say, God, I need you. Jesus, I need you. I trust you. Fight this battle for me. And then we're told to resist, to withstand, strive against, or oppose in some manner. I don't see in the epistles very many power struggles with the devil. And we're not told that. Why didn't he say, you know, resist the devil, you know, command him by name, name him and expel him? Why didn't it say that? It said, no, resist him. It didn't say, have a power struggle with the devil. I don't feel I just don't see that in the New Testament. Now, when we're looking at trying to figure out how to deal with the devil, I don't think the Old Testament is really the place to go. I think it's from when even seeing how Jesus did. He was God, by the way. It's descriptive, it's not necessarily prescriptive. But in the epistles, it is prescriptive. We're told how to deal with the devil, to submit and resist. What's it mean to resist? It's like, I think, a waterproof jacket. Doesn't let water in. I think of to resist is to protect and to not let it affect us, not let it attack us. I remember I was in Washington, D.C. 15 years ago with my two oldest boys on a trip, 14-year trip. Took them both with me. We were visiting battlefields, and I remember we stopped in a restaurant. It was lunchtime. I drove into this restaurant. I can't remember what part of D.C. it was, but I remember walking into the restaurant, walking up to the counter, looking at the menu, and all of a sudden, there was in my spirit, I went, something is wrong. Something's wrong. And I turned, and it was had a lot of people on it. There was a pool table, and everybody had stopped and was staring at us. And it was not a good stare. So I had my two little boys, 12 and 14, right here. It's like, oh, no, this is not good. Whatever this is not good. So I put my hand on their shoulders. I said, boys, we're leaving. Turn around. By the way, this is a good plug to have your children obey you without question. Because they did. They turned around. I turned around. And I said, let's go. Go to the car. Go to the car. And we're heading to the car, and I turn around. There's a guy coming out of the restaurant chasing me. And I said, boys, you stand right there. And I was ready. It's like, you get back. And I was like, what's he going to do? And he came at me, and he's going, no. He goes, I'm the owner. I just want to tell you, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry for what just happened there. There's other restaurants right down the street. Please, please, I apologize. And he turned around and walked away. I still to this day don't know what was happening in there. I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. But I was going to resist anything coming at my boys. It's not going to happen. Do you realize Satan wants to destroy your children? Your marriage? Are you willing to just stand and say, you're not getting past me? It's not going to happen. We need to be men of courage. We don't run. I mean, I kind of ran out of that place because that was just the wrong place. But if somebody's going to come at me, it was going to be like, there ain't no way you're going to get through me. We're called to resist and protect. So how do we do it? I don't really have time to go through too much of this. Humility, that's a key, guys. We got to be humble. Again, it's not our power. It's not our strength, our righteousness. It's God's. We need to be obedient. Don't fraternize with the enemy. Don't fraternize with sin. A.W. Tozer says, obedience to God is the highest form of worship. When you obey God, you put up a fortress against the schemes of the devil. Obedience. Prayer and dependence. Again, as I mentioned, use the name of Jesus, man. You better be using the name of Jesus when you feel like you're under attack. Philippians 2 says that. I prayed that. To the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. That name, demons flee. They don't flee you, by the way. They could care less about you. You don't scare them a bit. But start claiming Jesus, and that you'll resist them. Resist temptation. Listen, if you're given addictions, alcohol, don't go hanging out in bars. If you're given to addictions with porn, don't get on your computer late at night and shut the door and be wise. Resist temptation. Don't give the devil a foothold, it says in Ephesians 4:27. Focus on spiritual growth. Fight back against the devil. Again, 2 years ago, we went through the whole Ephesians chapter 6. Just for your reference, you can go back and listen to those. I won't go over those tonight, but God's given us offensive weapons and defensive weapons. You can listen to that whole series online. We're going to wrap this up here. Fact is that Jesus has already defeated Satan. Amen. I mean, he's won. Look at these verses. They're great. 1 John 4:4, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. The Holy Spirit lives in us, men, and we need to depend on that. 1 John 3:8, the reason the Son of God, the reason Jesus appeared was to destroy the devil's work. It's already defeated, but Satan is still roaming until he's thrown into the lake of fire. Colossians 2:15, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he, Jesus, made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. By the way, not by your righteousness, how good you are. The triumph over Satan is not have anything to do with you or me. It's all Jesus. And the sooner we figure that out, that is our best weapon. Amen. Jesus. We were hearing footsteps and weird things happening. I went around our whole house and just took some oil. Was it holy oil from Israel? No, it was Wesson oil for my counter. Putting oil just on. Why? Because the Bible talks about doing that. I don't know. And it represents the Holy Spirit. And it's a picture. So I was putting oil and praying in the name of Jesus. Satan or demons or whoever you are, you have no authority or power to be here. By the name of Jesus and by the blood of Jesus, I claim this room for Jesus. You need to leave and never come back. And I went every room and do that. Now, you may not do that. That's fine. It just made me feel better. And I'm saying what's true. I'm not casting out demons with my own power. I'm saying Jesus owns this house. Jesus' blood cleansed me. I don't even claim I have the power to do it, by the way. There's some controversy about that. Matthew 28, 19, 20 doesn't say you have power. Who's got all authority and power? Jesus does. Some people say, well, he gave it to us then. It doesn't say that in the text, by the way. He just said, go. I've got all authority. Go, and I'll be with you. You better have him next to you, okay? I like what Adam Clark said. He says, even the devil himself has a chain. He who often binds others is always bound himself by Jesus. You know, I experienced one thing that I know is clearly a spiritual battle. Happened at Iowa State University. Man, this was a long time ago. In the mid-80s, there was a guy named Jed Smock who used to come around different campuses in the Midwest. Anybody know Jed Smock or heard of him? Yeah, some of you have. Jed Smock was pretty famous at Iowa State. He would come and preach for a few weeks, and he would gather hundreds, 500, 600,000 people in a big, tight circle circling him because he's very energetic, very dramatic. He would talk about being thrown into the lake of fire. And people loved it, and they would love to mock him. But he would preach the gospel and lead people to Christ, and he did it on purpose just to get huge crowds. Well, there was another guy that I am pretty convinced of, anybody I've known, is demon-possessed. His name is Zevs Cosmo, and he was also at Iowa State at the time I was there, and he had a nudist church that he'd started, and just wacko. But he got pretty popular on campus. He would show up at all these things. He'd write letters to the editor. He would do all these crazy things. I mean, I remember once I was preaching out in front of a bar, and he came up and kicked me right while I was preaching. It's like he was whacked. He was demonic. I was on campus, and Jed was preaching and had a huge crowd of people. And I was just walking past, so I decided to go over. And I'd become a Christian like 2 years before that. And I just wanted to hear what Jed had to say. And people were, you know, just trying to interrupt him and throwing frisbees across the circle and right in front of him. But he's done this for decades. He knows how to handle a crowd. He was doing that so other people would come. Anyway, these people were all yelling. And then they saw Zevs come in to the circle, you know, coming off the street, and they started yelling, Zevs, 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 because Zevs was just the opposite of Jed. So Zevs kind of came into the circle and was like, yeah, and they were all cheering for Zevs, and Jed just kind of leaned on his staff and just kind of watched this all unfold, like, and so Zevs was making a big scene, and people were saying, go Zevs, yeah, Zevs, and I, being just a young Christian on campus, I'll never forget this feeling. I was standing there watching this. And here's this man of God who is being shut down by this guy who is so completely wacky. And something, I can still feel it today, rose up inside of me. And I don't even know where it came from. And with all this ruckus going around, I screamed at the top of my voice. I said, sit down! And I kid you not, here's what happened. Zevs went. And he crawled out of the circle. In front of everybody. And people turned and looked at me. And I was like, I have no idea what just happened. I didn't come planning to do anything like that. That's not like me. God just brewed it out of me. And he crawled all the way out of the circle. 600 people saw it. It's like, honestly, guys, I don't know. It's not me. Because I don't know what just happened. But I believe God just did a work there. God is powerful. Now, having said that, my final thoughts. All authority belongs to Jesus. I would suggest you use truth encounters over power encounters. You say, well, that was a power encounter. Maybe it was, but that was not birthed by me. That was not me initiating. I was there to watch. Truth encounters. What do I mean by that? So, naming, claiming demons, even territories, all that, well, that could be fine and good, but this idea of I have power to cast out demons. I go, just guys, get that out of your head. If you're like the sons of Sceva in the book of Acts, you're going to get beaten and bloodied and sent out of the house naked. How bad do you got to get beat up to be naked when you get beat up? They knock all your clothes off. That's what happened to guys that were trying to drive demons out in Jesus' name. They said to the sons of Sceva, they said, Paul, we know, and Paul, we've heard of, and Jesus, we know, but who are you? And they beat them so bad, they were naked and bloody, and they ran out of the house. You think you can take a demon on? You're mistaken. Can Jesus take them on? Oh, yeah. So let me leave you with this quote. Oh, am I bothering you with my sniffing? I understand. Thank you. I appreciate that. This last quote. I love this. Skip Heitzig says, when the devil knocks on your door through deceptions, lies, or emotional attack, don't open the door and rebuke him. Ask Jesus to answer the door for you. And I think that is such a good picture, and I want to leave that with you. Because when it comes to spiritual resistance, I think that's a good word. And that's what I'm talking about. When I'm on the bed feeling my hair raised, I'm talking, Jesus, will you take care of this? Jesus. It's about you, Jesus. Thank you for all your power. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you that Satan's doom is sure. I do like to throw that in just to remind the demons of where they're headed. You are headed to the abyss. Your time is short. Listen, men, and by the way, in Jude 9 and Zechariah 3:2, we see the example of that, by the way, because we're told that we're not to rebuke demons. It says, the Lord rebuke you. That's what we're to say. Lord rebuke you, Satan. Not us. The Lord rebuke you. Okay? So, I think that's it. I have three questions for you. Men, let's pray. But we need to know our enemy. May God help us to know our enemy, to be courageous, to resist him. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time. Pray that you would help us be men of courage. Men of insight, that we're alert and aware of Satan's schemes, that we use the right tools to combat him, to resist him. I pray, God, that you would protect our families and our marriages and our kids and our church from Satan's attack. He is prowling, searching to destroy. We thank you, God, you've given us tools to be able to resist him. In Jesus' name, amen.